Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Wiz Wit Hockey Podcast. I am your host, Drew, and Dave Hackstall being coach is the reason I cry myself to sleep at night. Well, one of the reasons. Anyway, with me, as always, is Devin.
Hey, what's up? It's Devin.
And my main man, Kush.
Hey, what's up? So, wait, real quick.
Yes.
So, yes, this is really random, but yesterday I discovered these chow mein noodles from Walmart. Super good. They're like 70 cents.
What does this have to do with, like, anything?
Well, since we're on the topic of food, I thought that we should make this podcast also a cooking podcast, because as we record, I will be cooking dinner.
Okay, I want a play-by-play analysis of you.
We are called the Wiz Wit.
This is true. We should get some food.
We probably should. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm making a lemon garlic tilapia baked.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, it's fancy.
Mm. That's
fancy
all I'm going to talk about. Mm.
So, last time we were here, we previewed the Flyers offseason. Let's just say people didn't like my armchair GM.
Me and Dev hated it.
Wasn't even close.
As well as the masses.
As well as the masses. Apparently, I'm an idiot. And that's okay. That is fine. It's not something I didn't already know.
For the rest of us, anyway, it's fine.
Yeah. Right. But the thing is, there is an actual GM happening. You know, Flyers had a draft. With the 14th pick, they picked Joel Farabee, left wing. He's a scoring winger. I think it's good. He's 6 foot, even 164 pounds, so needs a little bit of weight, but I think that's a good pick for us. Any thoughts on Farabee?
It's a winger. We needed wingers. I mean, really, when you draft guys, even if you draft them at center, I mean, the NHL is so different anyway that, like, Morgan Frost could be a winger, but...
Yeah. And then with the 19th pick, we picked Jay O'Brien, a center, 5'11", 176 pounds, a little bit of a reach. His pre-draft ranking was 34th overall. The quote on him is, smart hockey player, he's got a little agitator in him. And that's from Hextall. So apparently we just wanted some grit in the first round.
Well, so, hopefully in 5 years, half the Team USA is from the Flyers.
This is true. The one thing, remember how big I was on Joseph Foligno? Well, he fell to, what, 30 or 30? Yeah, he fell to 30.
There's a lot of guys that dropped. Because I didn't watch the first round, but there was...
Yeah, apparently the reason why he dropped was he had a bad camp. Player development camp and stuff like that. So
Combine.
Yeah, sure.
They put way too much stock in the combine.
Yeah,
they really do. So the Red Wings made out like a bandit.
Well, they were saying like the whole time that this draft was weird and no one really knew where anybody was going to go. So
other than Dolan.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
With the 50th overall pick in the second round, Flyers drafted defenseman Adam Ginning. He's 6'4", 206 pounds. Stay at home, and he is a big boy, ladies and gentlemen. He's a big boy, a big old hoss on the blue line. So hopefully he develops into something nice. And then in the fourth round, 112th pick, John St. Ivany. Another defenseman, 6'2", 198 pounds. More importantly, Dev, to your credit, he's a right-handed defenseman.
What?
Yeah, you said it. Everybody wants a right-handed defenseman. So we
got a cool name, too.
Yeah,
it sounds like really like...
It's not.
It's got a good
I'm sure it's not
it's got
how
a flow to it.
We'll learn it's pronounced like, say, Ivan.
E.
Yeah,
Ivan Y.
Weird. Yeah, like remember we used to thought...
Well, there was a...
Remember Andreas Noodle?
Yeah.
There was a... What was it? A German Rubstoff is like Germain, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. No, yeah. the Russian German sounds better.
Yeah. Like,
he's
you're
definitely
probably more accurate
the
with
German.
We were just talking about this, Lion and Leon.
Yeah. Oh,
like, come on. It's great.
Leon sounds stupid.
Leon sounds so much better.
Absolutely.
Alex not. Leon. Whatever. We're not getting into that. It's another argument for another time. Flyers drafted some other guys, not really important. Late round picks, you never know what's going to happen. You could get a Henrik Lundqvist, or you can get a no name who never touches the NHL ice. Real quick, we're going to the Flyers re-signing. Sam Moran, 3 years, $700,000 AAV. Alex Lyon, 2 years, $750,000. Stolarz, for a year, $761,000. Taylor Lear, 1 year, $720,000. Vanek Martel, Goldborn, and Wilcox all got re-signed. Don't care about them. They're just going to play in the AHL. We signed a defenseman. Was it Follin?
Yeah,
Christian Follin. Yeah, he's a seventh guy there for injuries. 1 year, 800,000.
Will probably play him more than
he will play them more than Hag, Sanheim. You know,
I forgot about that signing. That's just
it
really
was one of those signings
man.
That the nice thing he's 27.
Yeah,
I mean, I honestly don't have a problem with the signing. I like the signing. He's a fine seventh defenseman, but I swear to God, if he sees, like, second pair minutes, I'm going.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The signing is perfect. They need a seventh defenseman. He's a good seventh defenseman. It's just hopefully the coach doesn't play him 20 minutes a night with a rookie.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the big one, boys. The one that shook the Philadelphia sports world.
Matt Reed.
Matt Reed to the Wild.
That's what you're going to go about that, right?
No, actually, John
Tavares.
Nah, not that guy. The other one. James Van Riemsdyk.
Oh, we're
5 years, $7 million AAV. What a signing. I don't think any of us saw it coming.
No, I was surprised.
Not really.
I didn't think they would sign anybody. I thought they would pretend to go for John Tavares knowing they wouldn't really get him, and then they would sign a bunch of Devs guys. But, like, they actually made a splash, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a fun signing because – It's former Flyer, but he's so different. So you can't, like, it's not like it's like Paul Holmgren going after a former name.
Right.
As like, somebody who was upset when he was traded for literally a lump of bricks, like, I was happy he was back. Like, Hextall has over and over again undone Holmgren's mistakes. So.
Oh, absolutely. You have a shit ton of cap space now. I always said that we just sent him after we signed him. It was only because we sent him to Toronto for 6 years to develop.
Yeah, pretty much.
Our minor league team.
Yeah. So, JVR, when he was with the Flyers, max points in a season was 40, 21 goals. He went to Toronto and had a 62-point year 2 years ago, 29 goals there. He maxed out at 36 this past year, 36 goals. So we're bringing in a scoring winger for our second line.
And that was, like, with limited minutes, too. Like
He played 81 games.
Yeah,
but he played, like, 16 to 18 minutes a night? Like, he might have even played less than that.
Yeah, no, he was on the second line, I think.
Yeah.
I think they might have had him on the third line.
Really?
For some parts, too. I can't remember. I just remember reading an article
about it. Yeah, I know that his minutes were, like, kind of low. So, which makes it all his numbers all that much better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the signing. I mean, I know a lot of people are probably nervous about the money and the term, but it's okay to overpay for some guys when you have, you know, Ghost and Couturier on, like, super team friendly deals. So,
see, on kind of like wild cards like that, like, I'd rather have, like, pay them more for a less term. Like,
I don't think
like
he's JVR, a wild card.
Well, I know he's not really, but, like, I don't know. When that Andrew McDonald contract happened, like, so many years ago, and they signed him for 6 years, I'd rather have just paid him, like, for 3 years at a higher
– Yeah, but that's Holmgren for you. That was a Holmgren. Yeah.
Don't save money on the money per year only to
save
add
it on
years.
The term.
Yeah, right. Save it. The term is what kills you. You can overpay a guy, but if it's only for 3 years, you can survive it.
Right.
But that being said, like – he's a winger. He's starting from a high point, so like his aging curve, I'm doing air quotes, shouldn't be too bad, and he should still be okay at the end of his deal.
Yeah, I mean, I like the 5 years because he was going to get probably 7 somewhere else.
Yeah, easily. I mean, he's 29, so we'll have him until he's 34.
Yeah,
that's perfectly fine, right through his prime. I mean, it's really good. Projected lines right now for the Flyers. Drew Coutts, Konechny, top line. Van Riemsdyk, Patrick, and Voracek, which I'm just fully excited to see.
That could be a really, really, really good second line.
Yeah.
If Patrick plays like he did the second half of the year and he takes a step forward and he, like, becomes a second line center, and which is kind of asking a lot. Like, he is, you know, going to be a second year player, even though he was a number 2 overall pick. But,
I mean, he's 19.
Yeah,
I think he's going to. This isn't really a hot take because I believe it's 100% going to happen, but I think he's going to be better than Nico Hischier this year, easily.
I think healthy Nolan Patrick, I think, is better than Nico Hischier.
Yeah, he was first of all, he was the consensus number 1 pick for like 2 years, and then he had a botched like sports hernia surgery, and his numbers tailed off. So Devils got nervous and picked Hischier, however you say it. So I think the Flyers got lucky twice that year. Lucky because they won the lottery, and lucky because the Devils probably made the wrong pick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not to say, like, Hirscher's going to be great, but I think Patrick is going to be the more well-rounded.
I think he's going to make more of an impact on the Flyers than Hischier will on the Devils.
Yeah. The Devils are going to be bad for a few more years. But how about this? How about Nolan Patrick, second overall pick, playing with JVR, second overall pick.
Yeah.
That's always fun. Especially because they were both Flyers second overall picks.
Yeah,
well, you know, I'm still would have rather.
I always said that too. When they drafted Nolan Patrick, I was like, oh man, if we could only put him with our other number two overall pick. Oh wait.
Well, your dream has come true, my friend. Third line, Simmons is going to play the right side. Left wing is either going to be Lindblom or Raffle, and then the center is the interesting part. A lot of people are just penciling in Lawton right away. He's just going to be the man.
Well, Hextall, I would Wheel.
That's weird. Wheel? I mean,
they have Wheel on the fourth line.
No, but Hextall,
this little prediction here.
In like Hextall's last few like press conferences, the development camp, and then like end of year, and he had one recently. I think when they were officially announcing JVR 2 days ago, he mentioned Wheel. They want to give Wheel a look at the third line C. So that'd be interesting.
I think it depends on what happens with camp.
I was going to say, give it a shot in camp.
Because here's a little hot take for you before we get to that whole big thing later. I think Morgan Frost makes the opening night roster, and I think he's going to be your 3C, and I think Lawton's going to be your 4C, and Laterra's going to be benched.
I think, assuming that the coach makes good decisions.
I would lean towards Frost not making the team.
He put on weight. He had a great developmental camp.
The whole weight thing is just garbage because a lot of people were still saying that he still needs to gain weight and he's like 185 now, so
he'll be fine for a 3C.
Yeah,
in his
he's a beefy
year.
Guy now.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with him is from preseason putting him against NHL players. If he has a really good preseason, why not? Why not put him on the third line? Put Lawton on the fourth line. You can bench Laterra. He's a veteran guy. He could take it. And then you've got a good fourth line to start the year. You've got a good third line to start the year because you already have Simmons on it, so it's already a good third line. And nice microwave over there.
That was actually the oven timer. The tilapia
God.
Has gone.
I was gonna
into
say
the
it's
oven.
Loud for a microwave.
That is it's just loud in general. but yeah, I don't know. I think we have the potential to put a very young bottom six out there, a very fast bottom six. And if we can keep that through, we'll be pretty good. And defense, Provorov, Gostisbehere. This projection I'm seeing has Sanheim and Gudas together and Hag and McDonald together.
It's weird, though, because what was it last season where Sanheim and McDonald actually worked?
Yeah, but this is just a projection. Yeah. It's not like an actual – it's not coming from – anybody important, but also the goalies. Obviously, Elliott's your starter, but they're putting Lyon over Neuwirth, which I kind of agree with. But I think you got to get rid of Neuwirth if you're gonna go all in for that.
I think it'll probably end up being Neuwirth and Elliott because Neuwirth will eventually get hurt.
Yeah,
and so Elliott because he'll play too much. So
yep,
and he's old. So then Lyon gets it. And hopefully, Hart.
Carter Hart, we'll talk about that in the next podcast.
I mean, there
we'll
is a
be previewing, but I'm Carter Hart can play in the NHL this year.
I don't know, because he might. I mean, look, we have like the most injury prone goalies as of right now, you know? Like, he might see backup time.
He should play in the NHL.
I'm calling it right now.
Late February, gets one game.
Neuwirth and Elliott have gone down in consecutive games, Lyon and Hart.
No, it's going to be Lyon and Stolarz.
Yeah. No, Stolarz won't be back. He'll just be coming back. He'll still be, like, rehabbing in the Phantoms or whatever.
Well, I think he's going to get loaned to another AHL team because we just don't have room for him.
We could put Sandstrom there as your call.
Well,
I think he's staying in Sweden or whatever.
Yeah, he's staying in Sweden.
He's still young enough, right?
Yeah, I think he's the same draft year as Hart, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He might be older, actually. He's playing in a pro league, but
is he really not on this list? Oh well, not important. I think we're good. I think we're done talking about JVR and everything like that. We'll preview the Flyers season and a podcast to come, either the next one or the one after that. So let's move on to the rest of the league, because there are 30 other teams, which still feels weird to say. Still not used to saying 30 other teams instead of 29. But other than JVR and Matt Reed, the biggest signing in the offseason was, of course, Zach Rinaldo to Nashville for 1 year, $650,000.
He's still making money somehow.
He's still making money. That man.
He's reunited with Labby.
Yeah. You know, he's going to be their bruiser in the AHL. but
called
no,
up for a playoff game.
Give Couturier a concussion.
Exactly. Yep.
But so you're saying we're going to be in the Stanley Cup against Nashville? Is that your hot take right now?
No. That's not my
take. So the big one, John Tavares. To Toronto, seven years, 11 million AAV. He's coming off an 84-point season, played all 82 games, 37 goals, 47 assists. So, what's your take on him?
He's good.
No shit. Thank you. And moving on. All right.
It's probably the best free agent signing since what? Parise? Like,
wait, well, that's not even. That's still not the same.
Star players don't really leave the teams that they get drafted with, so...
Yeah, it's the best free agent signing where the guy actually left, is what I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard.
Eric Carlson's going to be next.
Eric Carlson's going to get traded.
No, he's not. Ottawa's going to hang on to him.
Why?
Forever.
Why?
As long just as why? They can, they're just so bad.
I'll tell you why, because if you're, I guess, Dallas or Tampa Bay, and you're trying to get Carlson... I would literally offer almost nothing because I'll just wait 8 months and take him when he obviously won't resign with your garbage fire of a team.
True.
Just like John Tavares didn't sign with his garbage fire of a team, yeah. Even though he really, really wanted to.
So I was in Canada 2 weeks ago, for those of you who don't know. So I saw a little bit of the Toronto media because it's kind of that area. They're happy, obviously, with the Tavares signing, but a lot of fans don't think it's going to fix their issues. They're more upset about losing JVR and not adding any defense to their.
I would be too.
It's just when you like break down their roster, you've got projected Pat Marleau, Austin Matthews, and Nylander on the top line, and then Hyman, Tavares and Mitch Marner on the second line. So yeah. You've got two guys.
Well, Mitch Marner's. Who are you saying are two guys? Who's your two guys?
Matthews and Tavares.
Okay. Because Marner's really, really good.
Marner's really good. Nylander's good. I mean, Nylander's getting paid like he's good.
Nylander and Marner both had 60 points last year.
Yeah.
So that,
they got to do it.
They're only going to get better.
And they're young.
But,
so.
But offense is good.
Yeah. No,
but
I'm saying they're
going to outscore everybody.
Their offense is really, really good. Their top nine.
Come playoff
fantastic.
Time, though, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. But, well, here's the thing. They still have Kadri, right?
They have Kadri on the third line center.
Kadri is a dark horse Selke candidate. So, like, I'm not worried about their offense at all.
No,
Toronto.
It's defense. Because
yes,
tell
me their defense.
Morgan Riley.
He's good.
And Zaitsev. And Zaitsev's playing on the second line.
Paid just as much as Shane Gostisbehere.
I mean,
they're having Ron Hainsey on their top pairing. He's 30 fucking seven. He's 30 fucking seven. You're going to put him with Morgan
Riley.
You're going to
give us the explicit tag on our podcast.
It's already on there.
Is it really?
Yeah,
that's
I put
amazing.
It on there.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't
like,
fucking
can
around.
Get censored.
I'm not censoring everything. I'm not going back and doing that. And then you got Jake Gardner. Trash.
He's maybe good, maybe not good, depending on the day. I know,
well,
like...
Wayne Carrick?
He's a guy.
I don't even know this guy. Dermott?
He's
Travis Dermott.
He's kind of a prospect who's they're hoping will be good. I don't
know
I've
read
what he projects
that
to be, but they're pretty excited about him.
I think I've read that they have him too high, though. Like, they're too high on him. Like, he's going to make a fine, like, second, maybe number two, maybe number three defenseman. But everybody thinks that he might be the next number one.
Yeah, I would agree. I listen to the Steve Dangle podcast a lot when they're Toronto fans, and they're mm-hmm. always talking about him. They're super pumped on him. So I feel like I know more about the Maple Leafs than I do about the Flyers.
And then the other thing is their goaltending isn't consistent enough for the playoffs. Frederik Andersen just doesn't.
I don't know. I like Frederik Andersen.
Well, the thing about Frederik Andersen,
you have bad defense. Your goaltending is not going to be.
Dude, did you see him last? He single handedly kept the Leafs in a couple games last playoff series against what was it, Boston?
In his last playoff series, he had a .376 goals against and an .896 save percentage.
Was there a game where he got absolutely rocked or something?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because go game by game. Because, I mean, if you look at the Flyers and Penguins series, each game, like,
that thing was a shithole.
Each game, the goalies would either let up, like, 7 goals or one goalie would just let up, like, 2 goals.
You go Flyers you go game didn't by make game. The playoffs this year, Kush. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's see. The scores were 5-1, 7-3, and Boston's win. It's 3-1 and 7-4.
Just tell me Boston's wins.
That's what I just did. So, 5-1, 7-3, 3-1, and 7-4.
Okay. All right. So, but then the Leafs wins, he was probably good, right?
Leafs wins, he was 4-2, 4-3, and 3-1.
Okay, so 2-3-1. He lit up. So it was a
compared
tale of two.
To
it
5-7-3-7.
I bet if you looked at his numbers for those three games, they were pretty good.
Huh?
I'm not going game by game. It's not important. But
overall,
he's a career.
Frederik Andersen's a good goalie. He's not like
he's got a career
goalie.
.918 save percentage.
Yeah, that's above average, slightly, just barely.
Just barely. At .255 goals against career. Yeah. Last year he put up a .281 and a .918, so he's consistently .918.
Yeah.
But a .281 is still not good.
Come the trade deadline, I guarantee they're going to go out and get
Henrik Lundqvist.
No, not a goalie. They're going for a defenseman. We'll go for like a top pair defenseman.
I swear to God, if they get Carlson, I will be so mad.
I'll quit.
I mean, there's no way they'd be able to re-sign him.
Though,
the
Toronto
right?
Yankees, though.
No, I was looking at again. I don't want to like give away my hot take, but I was looking at the Toronto's future cap situation and. They're not going to really be able to add.
I know you were looking at their future cap situation.
Their current cap is $14 million.
That was a who's that? Who's that guy that tweeted at you?
James Myrtle responded to me a little snarkily. He's kind of snarky to begin with, and I just like responded to him, and he responded back to me, and then like for 3 days I just had. Dumb Leafs fans responding to me. And then I had Islanders fans responding to the Leafs fans who were responding to me because it was all about John Tavares. So it was like, it was awful.
They still have $14 million for this year.
But they got to re-sign. They didn't re-sign Nylander yet.
They have to re-sign Matt. No, they did re-sign Nylander.
When?
Oh, wait.
No, they didn't.
What's this I'm saying? The roster projection says he's making
guessing. I think that's the projection of his salary.
You're right. He hasn't been signed.
So they got to re-sign Marner, Nylander, and Matthews.
And Kapanen, which isn't much, but
there's no way they're going to have
And then also
Carlson.
Jake Gardner and Connor Carrick next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no way.
And
he's going to get paid like
And they're still paying Phil Kessel $1.5 million.
They do have like
They still have who?
And they have the analytical cap guy as their GM now, so they might be able to make some smart signings. But
yeah, you'll never see. And they still have Nathan Horton on long term IR.
Yeah, that's true. That money's coming off. It's like $5 million, right?
$5.3 million. Yeah,
I know my stuff.
Yeah, you know Toronto better than you do Philly.
I do.
It's amazing. Yeah.
All right. So
real quick. A couple of guys who are still unsigned: Rick Nash, Carey Lehtinen, Toby Enstrom, Jason Garrison, Steve Mason.
Oh, I was going to say Steve Mason.
Yeah, Kevin Bieksa out there. There's still a lot of depth defensemen that you can grab out there. Good backup goaltenders in Lehtinen and Mason now. Veteran guys.
I feel like Mason might just retire though, because he was a couple of years ago, wasn't he? Like thinking about leaving the game before the Flyers traded for him, and then.
Yeah, but he also was having a really bad time in Columbus, and then he had like a career resurgence.
Apparently, there's some sort of like locker room issue with Steve Mason. It's always like alluded to, but no one ever says what it is. Like,
is it always with a goaltending coach?
I don't know, but he's always been traded because of that. It's not necessarily he's traded or not resigned because of his play. Like, Hextall didn't want him anymore. He made a decision before the season even started last year when he re-signed Neuwirth and not Mason.
Right.
And then Columbus did the same thing where they traded him away. Like, Columbus traded him away. He had a couple bad years, but he also was coming off, like, a colder year. And they were a bad team, so, like, you usually don't blame the other goalie. Like, they knew they had a guy. But they traded him. There's something weird about Steve Mason, apparently. I don't know. Yeah. But that's a hill I have died on. Steve Mason is a good goalie.
He's a good goalie when he wants to be a good goalie.
When he was on the Flyers, he gave the best goaltending performance for 3 years in my life. Like, I mean, that's not saying much. There wasn't a lot of guys to compete with, but he's been the best goalie I've ever seen that played for the Flyers. Hands down.
Okay.
Except for maybe, like, Boucher's rookie year, and I was, like, 4.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Anyways, so who won the offseason, guys?
Washington Capitals.
And tell us why.
Because they re-signed Tom Wilson. At a very reasonable cap hit.
At a reasonable cap hit? Was that a 5.1
something. Oh, jeez. My God.
I mean, he's 24. He's a good-looking guy. What else do you want?
If money was no object, I would love to have Tom Wilson on my team.
For 5.1, well, okay.
No, I said if money was no object, there's no cap, and I'm just a rich-ass team. But, like, in a cap league, oh, my God, he's a third-line player. Like,
but he's playing top line with Ovechkin.
Yeah, but that's like, okay, you can put anybody in that spot. You could literally put Laterra there. Hey, remember when Laterra had really good numbers when he played next to Tarasenko?
Truth.
Sounds very similar.
So, like, yeah, it's like, come on.
It's your whole Jake Guentzel argument, too. He's only good because
he's garbage.
I bet you they put him with Eichel because he's in Buffalo now, right?
He is. And no, not Guentzel.
No.
What's his name?
Russ?
Russ? Yeah.
No, Connor Sheary.
Sheary, that's cool.
I knew there was three pointless forwards.
I knew Gensel sounded wrong.
Yeah, they
three pointless forwards on the Penguins that suck, but they were really good because they played with Malkin and Crosby, and they scored all the goals. And then people really wanted to give the MVP trophy to Gensel instead of someone who like actually deserved it.
I think the biggest thing that's going to hurt Washington come playoff time is losing Jay Beagle. It was a big deal for them in the playoffs this year.
Anybody can be a Jay Beagle in the playoffs for you. You need, like, you don't need Jay Beagle. You need one of
Tom
your scrub.
Wilson.
No, you need one of your scrub players to just suddenly turn it on in the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, what ends up happening is your first line is shut down. Everyone neutralizes line one.
It's all about depth.
And then your second lines battle it out. And then whoever has the random Brian Rust scoring 15 goals is going to win. So.
I mean,
the important thing is to not pay that guy after the playoffs are over, like Buffalo did with Ville Leino and you're
Capitals
seeing the Capitals
did with Tom
Wilson.
Yeah.
And Jay Beagle got money too. He got like what, 4 years? So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess the Capitals won the offseason. They did win the cup, so.
Well, they won the postseason.
I mean, they are definitely the most lit team this offseason, so.
I'm like 96% sure Ovechkin is still drunk.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Who
you
won
the
offseason, Devin?
Okay, you want me to go? All right.
Yeah, because I'm gonna slide mine right into the hot seat. All
right. Okay. Well, I don't think the Flyers won the offseason, but I'm assuming another team's gonna be picked. So I'm gonna say the Flyers came in second to win the offseason because not only did they get James Ehrenreich, JVR, who fills a need. They need in the top six winger. I mean, how many years did we talk about, oh, Drew needs a left wing until we decided just to make Drew his own left wing? But we still needed another guy in the top six, so that fills that need. But we also subtracted Tuppula and Brandon Manning, which is pretty huge. They were pretty bad.
Yeah.
So you're replacing them with anybody. And they're probably going to be better, probably young players, right? So they're going to be better by subtraction and better by addition. And they didn't do anything stupid. So, yeah, they did a pretty good job.
And plus, And plus, you got to think Nolan Patrick's going to take a step forward. And even guys like Travis Konecny, who had a great year, he's going to even take a step forward.
I think the other big thing is they got that depth defenseman, 27-year-old, instead of having some unknown rookie. Well, not necessarily unknown to us, but...
Or, even worse, rookie. A proven veteran who's not
like
good anymore.
Brandon Manning.
Who would get playing time as opposed to being the seventh defenseman. Brooks Orpik.
Okay. Yeah.
Another great move by the Capitals.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was crazy. Trade him, and then the other team buys him out, and you're like,
then you
resign it.
Well, that was definitely part of the plan, I guess. Handshake agreement.
All part of the plan. Jay Beagle, by the way, got 4 years, $3 million AAV.
Oh, my God. That's going to be that's Dale Weiss money.
But it's also Vancouver, who is just another dumpster fire. So
yeah,
I don't get Vancouver.
Islanders,
they just want to perpetually be like
really
fourth,
close. Fifth pick? Never first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never first.
They
pick,
are
always fourth, fifth pick. And...
The New York Islanders, just in Western Canada.
Yeah,
yeah, but they don't have John Tavares. So what?
Well, they don't have the Sedins. They lost the Sedins.
Yeah. Now what are they gonna do?
Yeah, true.
They can't sell tickets anymore.
They both have a couple of young guys who are exciting, but they don't have anything else. But yeah.
So, I think that the St. Louis Blues. One.
St. Louis?
The St. Louis Blues.
All right, wait. Okay, so I'm going to pause.
Yes.
Toronto won the offseason. They got the best
player. I mean, that's pretty much the consensus.
Okay.
But
they got
that's
one
boring.
Player.
Yeah. But no, but they got the best. They got a franchise player.
But they got one player.
They got.
You see, the thing about St. Louis is they made moves to not only make the playoffs, but do good in the playoffs. Because what they did is they got rid of Vladimir Sobotka and Patrick Berglund, who had 31 and 26 points respectively, who had 3 years and 5 years left on their contracts. Cap dumps. And what do they bring back? Ryan O'Reilly, who's going to be their top-line center, who is coming off a 61-point year, who's going to be playing with Tarasenko. He's going to do well. But not only that, they brought back David Perron, who's coming off his best season last year with 66 points. Tyler Bozak to be a third-line center with 43 points last year. And Patrick Maroon to be a second-line right winger with 43 points last year. They're bringing in points, subtracting bad cap. They're making a push. They already have a great defense. Pietrangelo, Colton Parenko, Joel Edmondson. I mean, their third pairing is Jay Bomeister and Bertuzzo. That's good enough. They got a kid playing with Parenko. He's 21. I don't even know this kid. Dunn? Never heard of him. Jake Allen can be a goalie who can get very hot very quick and stay hot for long enough to win a cup.
Yeah. No, I agree. They had a great offseason. They were one of the teams I was going to pick.
I mean, think about what they added in Perron, a Maroon, who's now going to be – who's playing on either side of Shen. They have Ryan O'Reilly playing with Jaden Schwartz and Tarasenko. Tyler Bozak with Dmitri Askin and Alexander Steen, who can still put pucks in the back end of that. And their fourth line, they still got Robbie Fabry on the fourth line. They're going to be just – and Barbashev.
Well, yeah, Fabry missed the whole season, didn't he? Didn't he, like, break his leg or something?
And very early on last year, yeah.
Or, I don't know what – he got injured early.
Very
early,
bad. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, like, crazy about Maroon, but, yeah, he's a guy. Perron, he's getting older, but he's just always been a good top six winger. Like, for his whole career, just always being traded around.
Fabry didn't play a game last year because he got injured in the playoffs.
Right.
That's what it was, yeah.
Okay. But he's going to be good. He should be good.
Especially on the fourth line.
Shen was always good and
proven
still is.
Proven that he's in the right system, can be the man behind Tarasenko.
Tarasenko's amazing.
Tarasenko is a god. He can easily put up 35, 40 goals.
Yeah, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think.
Oh, sorry, Ryan O'Reilly. Yeah, that's who I wanted. Yeah. He's a great number two center.
He's their number one center.
But, see, they did more like addition by addition, where they added some points. And
addition,
you're right, they did get
they got rid
by
of cap
addition
and addition by subtraction.
Yeah,
they did. They
the
did
Flyers
very good.
Did, well, yes, very similar to the Flyers, I'd say.
All right, so we're moving. We're moving on now. We're gonna transition, smooth transition. Obviously, that's the only way to do it. Into a new segment. We like to call Hot Take Corner. And so transitioning right from my who won the offense, my hot take, Blues won the Stanley Cup, and they're going to beat the Lightning to do it.
I feel like that take gets thrown out every year, though.
I feel like that's not hot.
I think it's pretty spicy. I mean,
All right, so, okay. You know what? Yeah, I'll give it to you because they'd have to beat the Nashville Predators, who are really good.
Yeah, they got to beat the Predators. They've got to beat the –
Don't you say it. Don't you say it.
They got to beat the Golden Knights. They're not going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs and lose in the first round. They got to beat the Jets, which is
the
another
Jets,
big
team.
That's good.
Yeah. The Jets is another big team. Jets are going to be tough.
They
Blackhawks can always be tough. Your timer's going
off. Fish is done.
The fish is done. I mean, Sharks always going to be good. They've got obstacles. I think they're the team to beat this year. I think just from their all season alone, they're gonna do some good things.
They're a heavy team.
Yeah, I mean the thing about them though is they've got to win now.
Yeah,
because they have like the worst cap space and they have the lowest cap space in the league. They have $284,000.
Oh yikes!
Yeah, no, they're coming in by the skin of their teeth in cap space, so they've got no choice but to win this year because they've got to resign. Well, Maroon, they're not going to really probably resign. Yaskin, Fabry, Barbashev,
okay,
Edmondson, Bomeister, Gunnarsson, Bertuzzo.
All right.
Yeah, so they've got to do it this year.
Okay.
That's my whole thing. They've got to do it this year, and this is the time they're going to do it.
All right, okay. I hear you. I feel you.
And real quick, just a side hot take. Not as spicy.
Side take?
Yeah, side take. Flyers will make the playoffs as a wild card, and we'll lose in the first round to either Washington or Tampa Bay, depending on how.
Ooh, not according to my hot take.
All right.
Okay.
Your pick is now.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, okay, so I just want to say before I drop this bomb that I don't know if I actually believe it.
Guys, it's not even a hot take. It is a bomb.
Yeah. I'm going to go out and say that the Washington Capitals are going to miss the playoffs.
Wow.
Yep.
What?
Now that's a good take.
Yo. All right. I just want to put this out.
It could go
either
way.
Before you go any further, they still got Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Oshie, and Holtby.
I know. And that's why I don't necessarily believe it. I think that they still have the players to compete. But again, if Holtby has a weird season, they got rid of Grubauer, who's a proven good backup goalie, so they could lose points there, depending on how they start the season, too. Like, if they're still, like, on this cup high and they start losing points early, that could bite them come later in the season, you know?
If Holtby gets hurt?
I can see this. They're not deep anymore. So, like, say Ovechkin gets hurt, they're done. Mm-hmm. Like,
they've only got $1 million, just under $1.1 million in cap space.
Yeah,
gets hurt, they can't just like
Tom Wilson will definitely get suspended at some point. So that's a huge
that's
loss.
The top line forward right there.
Yeah, who's gonna play with Ovi?
True. Yeah. Well,
Brett Connolly up there.
So yeah. I mean, a lot of things have to happen, but I think it's possible that they very well could miss the playoffs. And a little side hot take. I'd say the Flyers could win the division because looking at the rest of the division, who else is really – the Penguins are good, but they just signed –
Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson for, like, a ridiculous
$3.2 million?
Yeah.
Noted overrated defenseman.
I mean, the Penguins only had 100 points last season, and the Flyers had 98.
Yeah, the Flyers were really right there. Your take kind of is related to my take a little bit.
Wait, the bomb or
the mild take? The side
okay.
take. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
what's your hot take?
I really struggled with how to word this, but I decided to just go with the hottest of hotness of this take. At this moment in time, if I had to put money on who would do better, I would put my money on the Philadelphia Flyers and not the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, I agree with that 100%.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you've went on Twitter lately, but everyone has the Toronto Maple Leafs basically winning the Cup because they got John Tavares.
Just because they got Tavares, yeah.
Right, and they're clearly at least the second best, if not the best team in the Atlantic Division, which is a weak division. It's basically going to come down to Toronto, Boston, and Tampa Bay, which Boston is probably the third best team. I kind of feel like they're not that good. But no, Toronto is the hot pick. They were the hot pick last year, too. Everyone wanted it to be Toronto versus Edmonton, and that went down the ball of flames. When you look at the forwards, top six, I think it's pretty damn even. Like, all right. So
top six for Toronto and who?
Flyers. So Flyers top line versus Toronto's top line. Like I think the Flyers top line is really good. You have a Selke nominee as your center.
I think it's better. I think you're right. I think it's better.
Claude Giroux on the wing, who had 102 points, right?
They still have Patrick Marleau on their top line.
Yeah, Patrick Marleau is not great. He's old. And so whoever you have on the right wing, whether it's Konechny or Voracek, they're both – Voracek's an 80-point player, and Konechny is a young player who's poised to have a breakout season. I guess last year was his breakout season, but he's poised to take a step forward. And then your second line, you're going to have JVR, who Toronto lost, and Jake Voracek or Konechny. And then Nolan Patrick, who could take a huge step forward this year. And if he does, then my take will probably be right. Toronto has an edge in the bottom six. And then
slight.
Yeah.
Well, Toronto now that we have, but we also have Simmons in the bottom six now. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true. But then Toronto has the edge on goaltending, but where it, like, it really takes the cake for me is the Flyers' defense is actually good now.
Yeah.
Ivan Provorov is going to win Norris trophies. I don't know when, but he will. Shane Gostisbehere is one of the best offensive defensemen in the game.
Yep.
And then you have guys like Sanheim and Felipe Myers coming up.
Robert Hag.
Hag, who's
Sam
Morin. People. Yeah, and then I don't know about Sam Morin. But, you know, and you have decent veterans in Gudas, and dare I even say Andrew McDonald is a good
who
sixth,
had a good year
sixth
year.
Defenseman. And he plays great with Sanheim, apparently.
Yeah. If he's used in the right role, he could be a solid defenseman.
When you look at Toronto, at least for the now, their defense really is very underwhelming, as you found out when you went to Canada. No one's really excited about it. They have one guy who's like definitely good, and then
Morgan Riley.
Yeah, Morgan Riley, and then they have two guys who are like might be good:
Nikita Zaitsev and Jake Gardner.
Right, and I want to point out that Nikita Zaitsev makes almost exactly the same amount of money as Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah, he makes $4.5 million.
Yep, and then they have a bunch of guys now in the future. They do have Lilgren coming up. Lilgren. I don't know if that's a rapper or. But the Flyers, I don't know. The Flyers, I just feel like if I was a GM, I would much rather be the GM of the Flyers than the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know,
and their cap situation, although they'll be able to re-sign everybody, like they're going to be able to keep all their players. They don't have to trade somebody away, like everyone keeps saying. But it's going to be they're going to lose all cap flexibility next year. They're going to be a capped out team. So.
You know what's very interesting about what you just said about I'd rather be the GM of the Flyers than the GM of the Maple Leafs is 2 years ago, Maple Leafs fans were all about their farm system, and it is in complete shitter now.
Well, their whole farm system's on the team now. So it's not like they
But it's
they
not panning
wrong.
Out like they thought it would defensively.
Well, no. Defensively, true. No. Their defensive prospects didn't really
pass. There were people saying they would have rather have had the Maple Leafs farm system than the Flyers farm system defensively 2 years ago.
Plus, they're not replacing any of these guys in their farm system, right? Like, the Flyers were at least have an influx of players that have a lot of upside.
Other than Lilgren.
Lilgren. And then let's also look at the Maple Leafs' last two playoff appearances. So 2 years ago, they played a Capitals team that's probably better than the Capitals team this year. But, all right, they lost in six games. It was fun. They were a bunch of scrappy kids, and everyone was rooting for them. And then this year they played Boston, who, I'm telling you, like, Boston's great and all, but they're, like, Bergeron and Chara, they're old, man. They're, like, an old team.
Boston's at their cap. Like, if they're going to make a run, it has to be this year.
And they lost in seven to Boston.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, well, even if they finally get over that hump and they win round one, it's not like they have a walk in the park. Tampa Bay is probably the best team in the East.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So,
wholeheartedly, Tampa Bay is the best team in the East.
I don't know. I just don't really believe it from Toronto right now. Like, they did. John Tavares is – he's going to be, like, the third best player in the East.
He
probably slots in after Crosby and Malkin, right?
Like, I think – I don't know. Stamkos.
I don't know. I feel like –
Kucherov, if he plays like he did last year.
Yeah, but he's a winger. Like,
you said player. You didn't say center.
Yeah, but I feel like center's more important. I'd rather have a franchise center than a franchise winger. But, like, John Tavares is the best player in the Maple Leafs. And Austin Matthews will be that good, probably.
He needs another year to be that good, but
you're
right.
Would you say that a 1-2 of Tavares and Matthews is better than Crosby and Malkin?
No.
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 And the Pittsburgh Penguins struggled for like 6 years between Cup 1 and 2 and 3 of the Crosby era. And they struggled because they didn't have a, you know, Phil Kessel on the third line. So my take is everyone cool it on Toronto, basically.
My hot take is actually pretty cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I agree with just like pretty much everything you just said. 100%. It's Tampa Bay. Toronto is overhyped. Tampa Bay is the best team in the East. I don't think Philadelphia will win the Metro. I don't think they're going to be Washington.
Really? I have. This is my Metro. Just pulling it out of my ass right now. Pittsburgh wins. Second place, Flyers. Third place, Columbus. Wild card.
I honestly think Philadelphia will finish as a wild card and nothing better. I think they're going to have another 98-point season.
You think Columbus is better? Who do you have in the third spot in the Metro? Because the New York teams are trash.
Yeah. Carolina's
not getting it.
Carolina getting any better. We do this every year with Carolina. They're not making it.
Well, I guess so, not with Peter Mrazek and Scott Darling. No, you're right.
No, they're not making it. So, Jersey's still bad.
Jersey's still bad. They're young.
They're not ready yet. A couple years. They're gonna be a great team, but they're just
the Flyers, you know, 2-3 years away.
Yeah, well, they're not capped out like the Flyers were.
So let me look at Columbus real quick.
It's gonna be between Columbus and Philly for that third spot. If you believe the Pittsburgh Capitals will both finish 1-2.
I think Columbus might have I don't know.
They might lose Panarin. Like,
they got a lot of youth.
They got a
defenseman. So do we.
All right. You know what? You guys convinced me. Flyers will take third spot.
They do have Bob.
They do have Bob and a good defense, but they have no – other than Panarin and Cam Atkinson, arguably, they have, like, nobody else.
But their whole team is, like, wants to leave, apparently. Like, no one likes it there.
Well, it's because Columbus. There's nothing to do in Columbus.
Yeah.
It's Ohio. You know, nobody wants to go to Ohio.
You know what's going to be funny? When the Flyers take that first spot, but not because they won more games than the next two spots. It's because they have, like, 16 or 17 overtime losses.
Yeah, like, when you mentioned earlier that the Flyers were only, like, 2 points behind Pittsburgh, yeah. I was going to be like, well, if you look at the win-loss
numbers. if you want to know a stat, the Flyers had the most overtime losses in the entire league last year by one. They had 14.
Hey, it's a strategy.
Yeah, 14. Detroit, Montreal had 13. They missed the playoffs. Anaheim had 13. They made the playoffs.
Dude, what do you think about winning games in OT?
What? This is Dave Haxtell we're talking about here. As soon as the game is tied, the penalty comes off.
I think they could, like, but I don't know. I guess they could have last year
if they can transfer overtime losses into wins, maybe. I mean,
yeah, like
you figure you win.
Losing streak was really misleading because they lost in overtime like
five times.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they got 5 points out of those 10 games. Yeah. But if you think about it, the Flyers win two of those games in overtime, and then they're 2 points ahead of Pittsburgh.
Well, they're tied.
Yeah.
No, they're 2 points ahead.
No, they would only
be tied.
So, yeah,
okay.
Because they got a point for losing that.
You're right. Overthinking it. Math. But yeah, you're tied.
It's hard. Math.
Yeah, we're 7 points behind Washington. But
which it isn't that far.
I do agree with Kush that Washington is going to take a step back this year. Like, honestly,
they might miss the playoffs.
I don't know
if Holtby gets hurt.
I honestly don't think they will miss the playoffs. But I want that down as my hot take.
That's a solid. That's my favorite hot take. I wasn't expecting.
If it happens,
just remember we broke it. Yeah, we broke it first.
Because look at the Capitals over the course of the Ovechkin era. And, like, the 3 years before last year were probably the best team that – they were the best team in the league. They won the President's Trophy a handful of times. So, like, those were much better Capitals teams that ended up losing, you know, in the first and second round over and over again. Like, you could argue that this was the worst version of the Capitals that ended up winning the Cup, like, on paper. So, I mean, they're not –
2 years ago, they had a President's Trophy.
They're not getting better. They're even worse than they were last year. Just like, you know, Ovechkin's another year older. Tom Wilson's not better than he was last year. And, you know, they're they've lost a couple depth pieces last offseason. So, I mean, I definitely see them. I mean, they came out and won the division last year, but I can see them falling off. And they're going to start slow, probably. And or they won't start slow. They'll start fine, but they'll be out of shape. So when it comes to be January, they'll start to really hit like a slump when they start to get tired.
Yeah, it could happen.
I mean, Pittsburgh as long as Crosby and Malkin are really good, they'll be fine.
And Murray's got to stay healthy.
No, Murray was bad last year, and they were still fine.
I said he's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, I was just saying Murray wasn't good last year.
No, but he's got to stay healthy because they have a guy named DeSmith. Have you ever heard of DeSmith?
I've never heard of DeSmith.
Exactly. DeSmith. DeSmith.
Will DeSmith.
No, not.
Is he in the same rap group as Lil Gray?
Lil Gray? It's D. Smith and Lil Gray?
Yeah.
Sounds like a number one single.
Lil Gray featuring D. Smith.
Prospects.
Casey D. Smith.
All right.
He's 2 years older than Murray.
So who? What is he? Like, is he a goalie?
He's a goalie. Yeah.
Is he like? Did you just see this name on a sheet, or do you know something about him?
He's just like their second goalie.
Ah, yeah, he's garbage. Probably.
He played 14 games last year.
Yeah. So he's the appropriate age for a goalie.
921. Okay.
Yeah, 240 to 921 in 14 games. Although in the AHL he had a 910. So.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah. Well, goalies are weird, man. I don't know anything about them. I used to think Steve Mason was elite.
Well, a lot of people thought Joe Flacco was an elite quarterback, too. When you see where that went.
You know who's an elite quarterback? Nick Foles.
You know who else is an even more elite quarterback?
Sudfeld?
Carson. Oh. No. Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld of a Super Bowl 52 champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Did they win the Super Bowl?
They did. They did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, how about that?
I think you guys are lying.
Little side note, Phillies are in first place by half a game.
Yeah, but they for now. Lost like – yeah, I was going to say they just lost like four in a row. Didn't
four in a row.
Yeah,
well, they lost a heartbreaker last night, 13 innings.
Well.
I heard. Yeah, I didn't see it, but
Kent Field, center field, El Torito.
I watch about an inning of baseball every day.
Gotta get your daily inning in.
Yeah, I can't really last much longer than an inning.
I watch a full game.
That sounds like a personal problem, to be honest with you.
Jeez.
Well, I think that just about does it for us today.
Yeah. Anything? Hate the off-season.
Yeah, it's sad. We're getting there though.
We'll a couple weeks. We'll do a preview, right?
Yeah, we'll do a nice season preview.
And then we'll have training camp, and we'll actually have some news.
Yeah, we'll be like, guys, training camp started. We could talk. Wait, when? Did Shit the Beats already happen?
Shit the Beats already happened.
That's developmental camp.
Shit the Beats.
All right. I mean, maybe you should explain Shit the Beach before you
the
leave.
The Flyers accidentally tweeted out Shit the Beach instead of like Storm the Beach or something like that. Or Hit the Beach or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was Hit the Beach.
I think it was Hit the Beach, and they accidentally
and they
tweeted
shit
out.
The beach.
Yeah, the prospects are out ready to shit the beach. So,
like, how long ago was that?
Like, that's like four or five years ago. Yeah. Haven't
classic.
Lived it down since.
Classic.
Like, it's like OG Flyers Twitter shit.
It is. It is OG Flyers Twitter shit. Well, if you guys enjoyed the podcast, please give us a follow on Twitter at @Wiz_Wit_hockey. You can follow myself at @TheBigDrew92. You can follow Devin at @DevinS93. You can follow Kush at @Flywalker1975. Any questions, comments, anything like that, you can send it to our email, WizWitHockey@gmail.com. Send them on over. We did get one email from last podcast, but it also came in yesterday, so you're a little late on that there, Paulie. Nice try for the predictions, but I did check the date on that, actually. But yeah, that's it for me. I've been Drew.
Yeah, tune in next week as we rate all 31 of the team's fourth line right wingers.
This is
Devin.
Ooh.
That's not. Don't take that to heart. That is not happening. God, no.
Well, I'm probably going to go get some more chow mein and not cook.
Oh.
So.
Oh, Devin.
The tilapia
looks.
You gotta
tweet out a picture of the dinner.
It looks like a pale white fish.
That's That's what tilapia is. Yeah. It
smells good,
just
though.
Make sure you tweet that out on the official WizWit Hockey Twitter. Again, that's Wiz_Wit_Hockey.
Oh, and just so everyone knows, anytime our Twitter says anything funny, it was probably me tweeting it. If it was not funny, it was Drew.
Well, that's accurate.